John Gilbert Winant is the most famous New Hampshire politician you may have never heard of. Quiet and humble, he was a three-term governor and eventually the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom during World War II. But his tragic death, in many ways, has always overshadowed his life. This Friday, a new statue of John Winant is to be unveiled outside the State Library in Concord, and HPR's Todd Bookman has this postcard on his life and times.
More than anything he accomplished, any legislation or high-profile position, John Winant's personality remains his legacy.
Well, he was a very charming individual, apparently.
This is Dick Hesse, professor emeritus at the UNH School of Law and a Winant fan.
It was said that when he walked into a room, women immediately fell in love with him. I'm not quite sure what to make of that, but in any event.
Maybe it was Winant's neatly parted black hair or his thick, bushy eyebrows. Tall and thin, he earned comparisons in both demeanor and appearance to Abraham Lincoln. Winant was born in New York City and sent north for his education.
My name is Mike Hirschfeld, and I'm the rector of St. Paul's School.
Winant graduated from St. Paul's in Concord in 1908.
Yeah, we're obviously really proud that he went to school here.
Another admirer of John Winant is Steve Shurtleff, the New Hampshire House Democratic leader. After teaching at St. Paul's for a few years, Winant enlisted in World War I.
Yeah, he was in the Army Air Corps. He was a flyer and rose to the rank of captain.
And eventually led his own squadron, which was an observation squadron. It's very dangerous work.
He was decorated for his service, but very humble about what he did.
After the war, Winant came back to Concord, and in 1924 ran for governor as a progressive Republican concerned about the working class.
And so his mission was shorter working hours, better working conditions, particularly for women, some sort of child labor regulation. These were the primary concerns.
After a few years out of office, Winant regained the governor's seat just as the Great Depression was taking hold. His personal acts of charity would become legend.
There's a story about one time the governor coming in the middle of winter into the governor's office, and he had no top coat. And he was wet because it was snowing out. And they said, "Governor, where's your jet coat?" And he said, "Well, I saw somebody on the way in today that needed it more, and I gave it to him." That was Governor Winant.
The next stage in Winant's life would take place in Europe. In late 1940, London was a city under siege from relentless German bombers.
You know, it really looked bad. They were holding on by the skin of their teeth.
That's Lynn Olson, an historian who has written about Winant. The then ambassador, Joseph Kennedy, considered England a lost cause. He wanted out. FDR would turn to Winant to become the next ambassador. He showed the citizens of London, immediately upon his arrival, that America stood with them.
And the first thing he said when he got to England was, there's no place I'd rather be.
Mr. John G. Winant stepped from his plane, which was an hour ahead of schedule, and a few moments later he was with the Duke of Kent, who had flown to meet him.
I haven't much to say. I am very glad to be here. There's no place I'd rather be at this time than in England.
On his way to London,
Great Britain was living on the edge. Winant lived on the edge with them.
And during the air raids, he'd go out with the fire brigades and walk the streets and help people out of the rubble and do whatever he could.
Sort of really spoke to the British in their time of need, that he was picking up the bricks and the broken timbers of a bombed out London with the people of London.
And as a result, the British loved him.
That popularity helped draw Winant into the inner circle of Prime Minister Winston Churchill. The American ambassador was in Churchill's company the night news broke of Pearl Harbor. He spent many nights with the Churchill family. Winant, at this point, didn't have much family of his own.
Governor Winant, for some years, had been estranged from his own wife, and it was a very rocky relationship. He fell in love with Winston Churchill's daughter, Sarah.
And so they were sort of kindred souls, and that ripened into a fairly intimate relationship.
And just before leaving England, he asked her to marry him. But she told the governor, "No, I've got things I want to do. I just got out of a marriage. I don't want to get into another one."
That was not something she was looking for.
And she provided something he needed in his life, and I think it was very disturbing to him to lose that relationship.
In 1946, Winant came back to Concord, New Hampshire. He was alone.
Exhausted and tired and,
you know, deep in his own thoughts.
He was working on his memoirs. He was in ill health. He was a disappointed lover.
His finances were in terrible shape. He owed a lot of money. I think it was everything kind of hit him at once.
It all came crashing down in November of 1947.
You know, I think he really thought there was no place in the world for him. He had nothing really to live for anymore.
Sadly, he went to his second floor bedroom and looking out at the hills that he used to walk through as a student and instructor at St. Paul's, he sadly took his own life with a 25-millimeter gun.
While English royalty marked his death and contributions in life, in the United States, in New Hampshire, the suicide was just too taboo. He was simply gone.
He disappeared.
Today, the remains of John Wynant are in a small cemetery on the campus of St. Paul's.
The beginning of his epitaph, which are words that he spoke in 1946, go like this. Doing the day's work day by day, doing a little, adding a little, broadening our bases, wanting not only for ourselves, but for others. Wonderful expression of I think of our highest hopes as a country and as a people.
I mean, in the history of the United States, there are not many politicians like him, people who really cared more about doing right, you know, about what the right thing was to do than their own political future.
That expression of service, that Lincoln-like way Wynant had of connecting, there's a hint of that in the design of the new statue of him in Concord. Wynant is wearing a suit and tie, his overcoat draped over his arm, posed with his hat in hand. A humble man in life and in death. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.